I don't know what the theme song is
today. Blog Talk Radio.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Got money on my mind, I can never get enough. And every time I step up in the building, everybody hands go up. And they stay there, and they say yeah, and they stay there.
Cause all I do is win, all I do is win. Cause I'm a fucking winner. That's what I do is I win.
It's my favorite theme song.
Sorry,
so
I had
far.
To get that.
Get what?
Oh, you didn't even miss me, so never mind. I'm not sorry.
Oh, yeah, I know. I was talking to myself. I couldn't find the theme song turned down. But anyway, welcome to Jake Pallant Show, everybody. It is Saturday, sometime in November. I don't fucking care. I'm so tuned out of my own fucking existence. I don't even know what day it is. It doesn't even really matter.
It's the 9th. Hey. It's November 9th.
November 9th. It's warm and sunny. My therapist, I had the therapist this week, and she told me that I tune out too much. And that I don't pay enough attention. Yeah, I don't pay enough. And I was like, I started thinking about it. I don't even know what day it is. So she might have a point. We'll talk about my therapy on another show. We could do a whole show on my
therapy sessions.
How about
your therapist calls in? Is she allowed to call in and be open?
Yeah, I think so. I'll have to ask her. But I wouldn't do that because she knows all the bad stuff. She knows all the, like, embarrassing details.
We'll just give her a list of disclaimers.
So there's nothing left.
Oh, that's true. Well, shit.
Yeah. But apparently, according to my stupid cunt therapist, I'm addicted to negative thoughts. And she asked me, she goes, you're very negative. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, fuck you, cunt. You're 80 years old doing yoga. You know, no one wants to fuck you. But I didn't say that. And she's like, have you ever had success in your life? And she was trying to set me up by saying, look how much you've done. But she doesn't realize I have had no success in my life of any kind. So I answered straight out, just honestly, I was like, no, I've
terrible.
Never been successful at anything. So, of course, she thought, oh, God, this guy's really negative. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I have never been successful at anything. And she goes, well, you talk about this podcast a lot and how much it means to you. And I was like, it means a lot to me. Don't get me wrong. Like, I love it. I'm very passionate about it. But it's hardly successful. I mean, I equate success with, like, people listening and growing an audience every week. So she gave me this printout that I'm supposed to read about my automatic negative thoughts that she calls AMP statements. So I'm going to try and be more positive today, even though we are discussing pussy movement and transgender issues, which if you don't want me to be negative, those are the two things not to bring up because there's nothing I'm more negative about. And we are joined by a guest, Shadi. I believe I'm pronouncing it right. How do you pronounce her last name?
Shadi
Potowski or something?
Yeah, I've heard it a couple times. I've only read it up until lately when I've listened to a few podcasts she was on. But I think it's Shadi Potowski. All along I thought it was Shadi Potowski.
Yeah, that's
so
what I call her.
I had to change it in my head. And also, your mom, the best was they did an interview, and I don't mean to make fun of them, but it's cute because they're older people. But her and Kathy Wells. That's her name, right? Kathleen Wells?
I don't even know what day it is. So, sure.
Dude. Okay, well, your mom does a podcast on Sundays with Kathleen Wells. And Shadi was on there last week, coincidentally. And they kept saying how she was on this show, Yo Gabba Gabba. And it was cute because they're like, they're not connected with our generation. It's Yo Gabba Gabba. Just so you know.
So you have that right.
So it's Shadi Potowski and Gabba Gabba.
And Shadi is, I'm sure, I'll offend her, probably, unintentionally, because that's what happens when I discuss transsexual issues. But when you say someone's a transgendered woman, what that means is they were born male and they've gone through the process of becoming a woman, right? So if you say transgendered man, that means...
in the process.
In the process. But whatever it ends up with is what they feel on the inside. So, for instance, just for people who don't know, if I introduce someone as a transgendered man, that's someone that was born female and recognizes as a man, and they're making the process or have made the process to become a man, right?
Like Thomas B. is a transgender man. Yes, he
was born
a woman.
Gotcha. Yes. Okay, well, is that Shadi there, the fourth caller?
It might be Shadi. Do you want me to check really quick?
Yeah, do you mind checking?
We don't have Eli Flager.
Yeah, we don't have a screener. It's just Jen and I today. I apologize, listeners. Please call in, everybody. This should be good. We are talking transgender issues, and I know a lot of people are probably sick of this topic. I am indeed sick of this topic as well, but we've never really put it to rest. we've never really had the discussion the way I would like to. And Shadi is one of the most vocal opponents of mine. She's also one of the most reasonable transsexuals that I've met. In fact, the only one I've met outside of Thomas and now Fallon. So call in. We have a lot of things to discuss. The number is 323-417-6705. You know, we encourage your calls, please. I have worked on myself in therapy enough that I'm no longer, I have a new pledge. I will no longer attack people who I disagree with. I will let you air your opinion, and I will pretend to be an actual radio show host and just ask you to explain it instead of calling you a douchey fuckface. I've matured quite a bit. So, again, the number is 323-417-6705. Is that Shadi?
No, that's just a listener right now. I told Shadi 110 because just to give her time to listen and then call in. So 110 is when she's supposed to call. 5 minutes. Talk about your pussy. And by pussy, I mean pussy movement. Not your...
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, I've been doing a lot of self-assessment lately because, like I said, I had a small nervous breakdown on Thursday, like an actual legit one, like... fetal position crying, you know, fucking officer and a gentleman, Richard Gere in the ring kind of breakdown on just this past Thursday. I'm still sort of reeling from it. And I've been trying to take...
Everybody's crying.
It's, I don't know what it is. Who knows? End of the year? Who cares? It's astrological, whatever it is. The point is that I've been taking stock of my life, and I realize that, you know, I've brought up the term pussy or... pussification or the pussies are winning the war. We even did a segment, you and I, where we called it the pussy apocalypse, and I was eaten by pussy zombies and turned into a pussy. And I was thinking, I was just kind of going over notes and taking stocks as I was crying in a fetal position with my thumb in my mouth about what a fucking loser I turned out to be. And I was thinking, maybe I've never really explained why I'm so passionate about why I can't stand pussies. Because I think people probably think that, I'll put it this way, if I'm objectively listening to the show and I'm not me, Jen, I'm thinking, this guy is obviously such a pussy, and he's trying to overcompensate. Like, you know, guys with little dicks buy big sports, big trucks or whatever.
Right.
And yeah, it's like, thou doth protest too much, the famous Shakespeare line. And I think that's why most people kind of just tune it out when I start talking about it. But the truth is, I never have claimed to be manly. And trust me, as I said, I fetal position crying. So I will never make that claim. It's not possible. But the reason that I am so terrified by this movement, if we don't want to call it pussy stuff, and people will just call it the oversensitive whatever, generation, whatever.
You're being sensitive to the oversensitive.
Yeah, try not to hurt pussy's feelings. But I was thinking about it, and, you know, this is something that's been happening in my lifetime. And this is, again, the number 323-FUCKERS, call 323-417-6705. I've been seeing this slow progression. We all have. Everybody's fully aware of it in the last 20 or 30 years. It started, quote-unquote, as the political correct movement. That's when most of the pussy stuff started. And everybody was like, oh, we're all so politically correct now. We can't say... you know, black person, you got to say African-American. And it started back then, like in the late 80s and early 90s, I remember it, in high school, and I was already naturally rebelling against it because it just seemed really whiny. And everybody was like, well, this is to create an environment where we're more sensitive to each other, where we're not hurting each other's feelings. It'll dawn this new age where people can talk openly and get along better. And, of course, I knew that was bullshit at 15 because what I thought was happening and would happen, it turns out I was right, was that this oversensitive movement would breed insensitivity. And, again, I know I was only 15, but I am a genius. I don't know if people know that. And I coined this term at 15. Oversensitivity breeds insensitivity. And what I was afraid of is that eventually we would have the society one day where everybody was more concerned about their own individual feelings and emotions and less concerned with working together in a society. Because the thing that people don't want to admit nowadays on either side of this debate is that we are completely interdependent upon each other. Okay, this isn't a collection of individuals in America. This is a union. There are people that make food. There are people that are, you know, cogs in the machine, so to speak. Our doctors provide health care, blah, blah, blah. We really do rely on each other. And the way in which we got out of the caves and got away from dinosaurs attacking us back in the day is we started to say, let's not be so tribal and stay in groups of 4 to 5. Let's band together. You over there, you work on an irrigation system that brings us water. I'll work on something like this, blah, blah, blah. And that's how we became a fucking superpower in the world, okay? So what scares me is now you have everybody here in America that feels the way they feel is more important than how anybody else's life is going. And everybody that's pro-pussy movement, quote-unquote, feels like, well, we're just being heard, and we just need to be more respectful. They're not going down, they're not taking a logic flow down the road to see what will happen. And what happens is you now have a nation. This is my point, culmination of my genius thing here, Jen, of completely arrogant. All right, here it comes. We now have a nation of narcissistic and arrogant people that are only consumed with themselves. Everybody, that's why everyone's on social networks and on their phones all day. They're not paying attention to even driving anymore. Everybody's completely insulated in their own little box. They have their own little fake illusions of fame or populace and feeling good about themselves. And they only care about how they feel. Therefore, it's more important that they should never have their feelings hurt than for us to be interdependent upon each other's society. And what happens is, when that happens, we no longer grow as a community. We are no longer inventing things. We are no longer working on things to make it better for the other person. We're only concerned with how we feel. And if you just take stock right now, if you just step out, we'll go to our guest in a second, and you look at the world, you'll see America is falling behind other nations at an alarming rate. Look at China, for example, and not just economic. If the Chinese invaded today, all our kids are soldier age, like 17, 18, are such pussies. They're such whiny, sniveling, entitled pussies that if Red Dawn were to happen today, we would fold in like a matter of 30 minutes. We'd be fucking in Chinese internment camps right now. And your husband would be like the governor of this area, Jen. And it's terrifying to me. So just to reiterate.
For me too, since I'm
hopefully he'll be nicer, but to reiterate, it's not that I'm against being more sensitive. I'm Mr. Fucking Sensitive. I'm a big, giant, sensitive, sniveling puss baby myself. I am against people putting their feelings above the rest of us because that breeds a terrifying, terrifying society. And this leads me to my guest, Shadi, the transgender woman who's on the line right now. I'm going to bring her on. When we got in the quote-unquote famous trans war or tranny war, this is the kind of thing I had noticed. I had said something I felt was completely non-offensive, that my mother said that was non-offensive in my opinion, a transgender, quote-unquote, woman who still, it was a woman that still had her male penis, was in a sauna, and teenage girls, 17 years old, were using the same sauna at the university they came in. They saw this woman with the penis sitting there, and they went and reported to the authorities, there is a man in our bathroom. We don't want to see a man's dick in our bathroom, okay? Now, pre-pussy movement, what would have happened is they would have said, excuse me, ma'am or sir, whatever you'd like us to call you because we're sensitive, your penis is making these underage girls uncomfortable. And then everybody would have gone, well, that's reasonable. You should leave. You shouldn't come in here with your dick hanging out. And everybody would have clapped and everything would have been great. Then you have the pussy apocalypse. Okay, now we're in a society now where your feelings matter more than the interdependence on society. So when these girls went and complained, the woman with the penis in the sauna sued the university and it became a national story, okay, because she said her rights were infringed because she should be able to sit there with her penis out in a woman's sauna. Now, her feelings in her head are more important than the comfort of underage girls. So me and my mom went on Twitter and we're like, yeah, let's keep penises out of the girls' bathroom. And what ensued for months and still is sort of brewing under the surface is the trans war, where we're basically, me and my mother were labeled transphobes, and we had all sorts of wonderful, epic battles. That's where I met Shadi. And Shadi's, by the way, one of my more favorite people in this debate. And we had this war, and it lasted, and blah, blah, blah. So, Shadi, you're on the air. Did I miss any details of what started our wonderful union?
Hi. No, and you, we're totally unbiased in your recanting of those.
Of course.
you and your
that's what I have.
Went on Twitter and said, look.
Oh, sorry, Shadi, can I can barely hear you. Are you on a headset or a speakerphone?
I'm on a speakerphone. Let me change.
Yeah, do you mind getting off speakerphone? Oh, we just lost
Shadi. Oh, you lost her now. Way to go, Jake.
Well, Shadi will be back. Shadi's no pussy. Okay, so anyway. This is the thing, why Shadi calls
this
back.
This was Colleen Francis, by the way. People are asking what story. This was Colleen Francis, and she. And when you say transgender woman, one of the things that Shadi even
nice.
Taught me. And you, I'm trying. When you say quote-unquote, that's Shadi again. When you say quote-unquote woman, that's offensive as well. She's a transgender woman. So you just
I don't care about being offensive anymore. I'm done. I am sensitive.
Well, you're going to not have a lot of friends, Jake.
I don't care. Because here's the thing. I am for transgender rights. I'm for equality. I think that the record speaks for itself. And if I'm not going to go out of my way to ensure that everybody has a wonderful day and doesn't get their feelings hurt. Sometimes in a society where people are sharing fucking goods and services, sometimes you get your fucking feelings hurt. Toughen the fuck up. I get my feelings hurt every minute of every day. That's just life. Shadi, you're on the air. See? I'm not gonna sue you. All right, Shadi, are you can I hear you?
Did you lose Shadi again?
Yeah. Fucking Shadi can't work a goddamn fucking speakerphone.
See, that shows she's a woman.
That's what I was gonna say. Proof that hormones do work because now she's completely incapable of using electronic equipment. All right, there she is. I'm gonna try this again. Shadi, are you on the air?
Can you hear me now?
Uh oh. There you are, yeah.
We
Let's
can
just
hear
stick
you.
With this.
Is it
okay.
better?
Much better. Not really, but at least you're on the air.
Okay, let me try one more thing. I won't hang up.
Okay. Right. Such a woman, I swear to God. Can you parallel park, Shadi? How do
it?
You drive? That's better. Can you parallel park, honestly?
Yeah, I'm amazing at parallel parking. I teach people to parallel park.
All right, well, welcome to the show. Okay. So,
thank you.
So catch up. Okay, so I pretty much got all the details of what started our union, yeah?
Yeah, completely unbiased, because you and your mother
of course.
For going online to just saying, look, guys, let's keep penises out of the bathroom. I mean, you were so sweet about it, and then you were viciously attacked, and now you've decided you're going to be unsweet. That's how you characterize it, right?
And that's because that's pretty.
I was completely unbiased and just nice, and then and then people were mean back to me. So now I can be biased and mean, and I think that's a little unfair.
All right, here's what I want to do. Hold on, real quick. This is why I brought you on the show. It's no surprise. I would like to put an end to this war. So I'm viewing this as like sort of a Geneva Convention, like a peace treaty moment. And then we can talk about gender issues. So I want to wrap this up. I will give you that I wasn't completely innocent in my initial statements as far as that I was sweet and that people just got oversensitive. I'll give you that.
We were not sweet. No.
I'll give you that.
You guys put up photos of Buffalo Bill from Signs of the Land. You call people trannies. You made all kinds of jokes. Roseanne said, keep the dicks out and all this stuff. She was retweeting radical feminists, which was the main problem with her, actually, if you look at all this stuff. She was retweeting radical feminists who are, like, super anti-trans, like, trans people cannot exist. So when you're retweeting, like, well-known radical feminists who are basically saying, it's like the trans equivalent of, like, retweeting the KKK, right? Like, it's like, hey, we want to have, like, a really reasonable discussion on race, but we're going to, retweet, Grandmaster so-and-so. I don't even know who's in charge of the KKK. But that's kind of the way it came off from my perspective. And it came down to the original article had no mention of penis. So there was also this, problem that happens with trans people where it immediately went to genital. So it was like, oh, they said there was a man in the woman's sauna. And so that must mean they were like flopping their penis around everywhere and, you know, spraying them with cum or whatever people think. They have this like animus towards trans people, and not really trans people, mostly trans women. It's more like trans misogyny than transphobia. It's about trans women more than trans men. So when we talk about these issues, it so often becomes about trans women. And then it's like, oh, there was a man in the bathroom. We have to keep them out. And so there's more to it than just sort of like, oh, there's this person like wagging their penis in the girls' sauna.
Gotcha.
Because none of us think that like that's okay behavior. And if
you
talk about it in that way, no one defends that behavior from, you know, a trans woman or, you know, it's this woman wearing a dildo or you know, whatever. Like, it's penises should not be in children's spaces, except for children's penises. And even then,
right. Yeah, not in each other's spaces. Although we all play doctor at some point. All right, so, all right, good. So we're all good. We're all friends now. We can move on and talk about
good.
Actual issues.
It was
all
nice
right,
talking to you.
No, don't go anywhere. Stay here. Okay. So here's, I'm just going to air it out because, you know, I'm not going to be nice anymore. Here's my issue,
you were
okay?
Nice.
I was always nice. I'm fucking perfectly nice. I'm the nicest
you
person.
You're not going to be nice anymore. You didn't start out nice.
I'm
you
not
going to
be, okay, I'm going to be less nice. Here's my issue, okay? And
okay.
I take responsibility for this if this is incorrect. I have a natural aversion to people who feel that their comfort level and their sensitive nature should trump the rest of us. It doesn't matter if you're transsexual. It doesn't. I don't give a fuck what you are. I don't care what your political affiliations are. I am very naturally violent against that. What I respect is when people go, you know what? Life's hard. It got dealt a hand. These are the situations I have to deal with. But it's me as a responsible person and an adult to navigate my way through my life in the best means possible. And sometimes I got to take it on the chin. Sometimes I got to go in a world that doesn't understand me. But that's what makes me strong, is every time I stand up to a quote-unquote bully or any sort of obstacle, I work through it and I get stronger each time. That's where the term self-esteem comes from. If you ever pay attention to the term self-esteem, the first word is self. It means it's earned by yourself. It's not given. And when I see people come on, in your case it's the transgender movement, saying, you need to treat us with respect. You need to be concerned about our feelings and how we feel because it's uncomfortable for us to go here. I kind of want to just say, fuck you. Lots of things are uncomfortable for lots of people. That's just something you have to deal with as an adult. And I would love it if you could just – okay, go on. I'll let you talk. Very angry.
You don't have to worry about trans people being in uncomfortable situations and learning how to deal with them and becoming stronger about it. We are pretty badass when it comes to strength. We have been beaten and shit on all our lives for not being gender conformist. So don't worry about that. There's plenty of self-esteem. And I think if you characterize it as not having self-esteem, it's maybe like the bigger problem, which is the problem of like, what does a trans person look like? Like, what are they, you know? So if you imagine this sort of like freaky, you know, scared, whatever you imagine, that's on you.
Lurch.
How you imagine.
I said lurch in a dress, I think, was a term I used during the war.
Yeah, great. Perfect. Yeah, because that's what we're seen as so often. But it's not. But
can I just not just say, though? Well, it honestly, it kind of is, just to be honest with you, at least through my observation. Like, it's rare.
No,
just let me finish. It's rare that I've seen a transgender person who passed. Well, I have seen it. You do. Thomas passes. Of course there are some, but I find them to be more the exception than the rule. A lot of transsexuals I've seen do look like, you know, from man to woman, do look like Lurch wearing a dress. That does happen.
That's a systemic issue. So you have seen that because of how trans people are portrayed to you. You don't know a lot of trans people. You don't go to, like, a trans pride event or something. You're not around trans people. So what you see is, this is what happens. So the media, whenever a trans person comes out, it's like, Mr. Johnson's going back to to school as Mrs. Johnson, right? Like, if that sort of situation happens, that's like, they're like fourth day in transition. Like, hormones haven't worked. They've never gotten any kind of facial surgery. They haven't lived in that preferred gender role. So you're seeing, like, the worst. You're seeing that day one transition. You are kind of seeing Lurch in a dress, you know, in a way. Or if
right.
you hear my voice, like, you're hearing my voice, like, and it sounds like a man's voice, but
right.
it won't in 3 years. So
right.
duration really matters. And society, like, systemically, the media, like, is only interested in transitioners. They're not interested in assimilators. So that's all you see. And that's
now, this is
funny on TV, too. So it's not it's not that there's an objective truth that trans women look like Lurch in a dress. It's just that that's what you've seen. And you've only seen black men be violent, let's say, or funny, right? Like, the media portrays that. So you might think, like, if you're racist, you're going to have the same issue. If you're sexist, you're going to have the same issue. Like if you hate Jews, it's probably because they were portrayed as, like, fair enough. Money grubbing.
Because they are.
Money grubbing.
They really are.
People, right?
You obviously don't know Jews. No, but let me just say this. This is one of the first questions I want to ask. Now, you just said it's systemic. Over time, we, you know, the more hormones and surgery, the more we pass. Now, I said very early on that it's my theory that if you are passing well, you don't have these issues. For instance, if you are passing as a female, which, I mean, I've only seen your Twitter avatar, but from what I can see, you pass very well. You're an attractive lady.
Uh-huh.
I imagine you don't have an issue in a woman's bathroom. This stuff doesn't happen for you. Maybe if you talk, you said your voice is manly. Maybe those things come up. But
yeah.
I bet if you just go in there and sit down in a stall and pee, no one has an issue. So my
right.
point is, if that does happen, first of all, does that happen to you? Do you run into problems, or you mostly pass?
No, I don't. But that's more about beauty than like, that's like a messed up like, that's a concept of femaleness and sex and bone structure that isn't, like, real, because butch women have problems in women's bathrooms, right? Like,
right. No,
like,
yeah.
You know, so it's kind of a bigger issue around, like, ugliness
but
and prettiness, right? So there are things that are happening. No, I understand it. And that's
right.
fine. But the thing is that, like, that makes sense. People have those issues. It'd be nice if they didn't. It'd be nice if we could, like figure out, like, for me, I don't have the same point of view that you have, because I've gone to trans, like, conferences, right?
Right.
So I've been next to, like, what you would call Lurch in a dress, but I can see past that. Like, I understand who they are. I want to get to know who they are. I don't have that same, like, visceral reaction. I also don't want to fuck women. So, like, the idea of, like, fucking a woman with a penis doesn't, like, turn my gut in, like, a sexual way, which is
right.
usually why people have problems with us. It's like the people who tend to have problems with trans people are, like, people who are, like, I don't want to have to fuck that. You know what I mean? So it comes down to, like, these kind of beauty standards that all women are, like, subjected to and don't really like. So what you're saying is kind of true, but that isn't the problem that we're trying to solve necessarily. It's more of, like, these, like, bigger issues, these kind of systemic issues of, like, okay, how do you handle that? How does a police officer handle that? Does a security guard follow them around? Do they look at their ID? What do they do? What's the criteria? Is the criteria just, like, your face? And if your criteria is, like, your face, like, why are you assuming that they're showing their penis all the time? Why are you assuming that they have a penis? So we're, like, kind of, like, trying to break down, like, what people are thinking, because we know what people are thinking, and people are thinking Lurch in a dress if you have a masculinized whatever face.
Yeah, and you got a dick.
You have a dick.
And
yeah.
you got spray
and if you have
everywhere.
A dick,
right.
if you have a dick, then you're raping people. So those
right.
kind of, like, logical leaps are social. And those are the same things that racism was born from and all other sort of, like, big problems are born from. I'm not asking you to, like, respect my feelings as a human being. And, you know, I'm asking
good,
you not to, like, that's fine. I don't do it either.
Jake.
I
was a joke.
you know, what I'm asking for is, don't arrest me for, or don't arrest a trans woman for you know, indecent exposure because she's wearing a sheer top, and you're in Georgia and you think that her breasts are causing a commotion. So you arrest her for indecent exposure as a woman, and then you throw her into a men's prison when you discover her genitals, and then her like de facto punishment for being for having a sheer top is like rape in an institution. Those are the kinds of problems that trans people
face. Slight logically, but let me just back you up. But just I want to make one point because I'm trying to like a lot of times when
no,
I
no,
argue
no, that
with
actually,
people.
That kind of stuff actually happens. I'm sure it's happened.
Just, okay. I don't know that that's like saying this is what's going to happen. I'm sure there's horrible cases like that. But
yeah.
Backing up when you said that there are butchy women that have problems going into women's bathrooms because they're, you know, they're cis women. For those of you who don't know, cis means born female, recognizing as a female. We'll use all the proper sensitive terms here. You said they have problems going in women's bathrooms, and my point to you is you don't see a bunch of really ugly butchy women collecting together in a group and saying, we need our own bathroom, or you have to treat us with respect from the bathroom. What they do is they go, fuck, I'm an ugly, big, butchy woman. I'm just going to put my head down and go to the bathroom and shut the fuck up. And
no, they don't. That's what feminism is.
Well, what do they do? What do they do?
What
do they do?
They created feminism. I mean, that's basically like the root of like, root feminism was like, hey, don't judge us for gender. Don't judge us for looks. Don't body shame us. Don't do that. That's what that whole movement kind of started from, was like gender nonconformists, you know, like going to college and then saying, what's the root of our oppression? Oh, it's men doing all the shit to us.
Right.
So it's not like we're in agreement.
Okay. Well, you make
root,
the point, but they still go to their bathroom. They don't freak out about the bathrooms. That's my point.
Yeah, we don't freak out. We are not freaking out on like an individualized basis as much. We're saying that trans women need to be recognized institutionally in society. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter if you believe that Adam and Eve, you know, were created by God, and there is only a thing as man and woman. I'm not trying to change the mind of like the Adam and Eve person. What I'm trying to do is not let the Adam and Eve person get me arrested because they hear me cough. So we're talking about institutionalized protections. We're saying, you know what, you can recognize a trans person in some way, and you're not going to arrest them for using the wrong bathroom because it's not the wrong bathroom. And we have to
expand our definition
of what
let's stick. Well, let's stick to the bathroom because that seems to be where everyone could be like, oh, we all love each other, and then when it comes to the bathroom, it's like, no, this is bathroom.
Well, it comes
this
to anytime there's like a wall. So bathrooms and prisons and things like that. Like any time there's a gender division.
Let's stick to the bathrooms. Now, why can't this is my question. I don't care how fucking oversensitive it sounds. If you're not passing, like, again, you can go into a woman's restroom, you said, because you pass, you're an attractive lady, you have no issue. If during the transition you are in the, we'll call it the lurch phase, you're lurching a dress, why can't you just put on, like, you know, jeans and a sweater, doesn't have to be man clothes, just like, you know, what like a lesbian wears, and then go in the men's bathroom until you've completely transitioned. And then you wouldn't
because
have any issues whatsoever. And now I just solved all your issues. Because what?
Yeah, thank you. No.
You're welcome. I'm here to help.
Thank you. Because that's subjective. Because I can go to McDonald's. I went to the McDonald's drive-thru the other day, right? And in the first window, I was called ma'am, and in the second window, I was called sir. I didn't change my clothes. I didn't do anything different. It was the difference between 15 feet. And one person said ma'am and one person said sir. It's such a subjective thing. So what we'd like to have changed in the world, like most oppressed people do, is we'd like to say, like, you know what, let's, like, we need to educate people about us. We need to have people kind of recognize this stuff. So it's not just about passability. There's going to be other cues, too. Okay, that person has a masculinized from puberty face, but we know that's a trans woman. We know that person isn't, you know, we know that that's a trans woman. We know that that's a trans man, for instance. And because we have gender-segregated society, we have to, like, let them into the right one. If we didn't have that, like, if gender was gone, which is kind of what which I think would be good for a lot of people.
Like Sweden,
then we wouldn't have those issues.
With their, Sweden or someone did that where they have no gender.
It's crazy. Absolutely batshit crazy.
Well, it depends on what your definition of gender is, because if you're, you know, the problem, one of the problems with society is that when people are say the word gender, to some people it means having a penis, having a male androgen puberty, which creates like more muscle mass and, you know, a different bone structure, different skin, blah, 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 being having testosterone, and then being socialized male, and, you know, whatever, liking sports, whatever that shit is. and that's what some people think gender is. But a lot of people say gender isn't that you're conflating sex with gender, and sex is different than gender. Gender is the behavior taught. So it's just the behavior taught. Like, men, you know, girls are pink, boys are blue. That's gender. It has nothing to do with penises or any of that stuff.
Sorry to cut you off because I want to take a call, but there is a difference between gender and sex, and I think most people do know that, and that's probably a lot to do with the transgender movement and you guys making advancements and educating other people. That's not something I knew before the war, for instance, and it's a cool thing to learn, but I just want to say, I think it would help you guys a lot, you guys being the transgender community, if you stuck more to the plan, because I'm bringing you on to help you. If you guys stuck more to the plan of let's educate, let's say we want to be treated this way and seen this way, we understand we're different, we're not going to eat you or rape you, we're normal like you. If you guys stuck to that, I think you would get a lot further. What I've noticed and what a lot of people have noticed is that if you even try and have this conversation, you excluded, and Thomas, of course, and Fallon, are all logical, reasonable
people.
Keep going.
There's probably like a bunch more names.
I haven't met them.
That we've
if
interacted
there are,
with.
Yeah. I swear to God, I have those three people that I know fairly well through here, and they're great. And then I could name you probably 1,000 that are batshit fucking Looney Tunes crazy because I had them in the train war, and they were. Oh, I'll go back and find you. They are some of the most craziest people I've ever talked to. And they're hurting your cause because it's like
Twitter, right?
You're hitching your wagon to a bunch of lunatics. What's that?
Yeah, Twitter.
No, not really. I mean, yes, that's true. But that's on
so
me.
Tell them
to
stop
being
crazy.
I do all the time. You have no idea.
No, I do. I've seen it. That's why I like. That's why.
Good. But it's hard to tell stressed, angry people not to be crazy. You know, like that's the kind of like thing that people say about like the uppity black person, right? Like, don't be so uppity. And it's like, well, you can't back people into a corner and treat them like animals and then expect them not to act like caged animals a little bit.
Fair.
You know what I mean? Like,
this is the point
the
I make
is on
every
the
week.
Oppressor.
Understood.
The onus
but
is on the oppressor to agree to come at it like a little more.
Well, here's what happens. Somebody's oppressing you. Somebody's oppressing you, okay? They're doing it out of fear. Like the apartheid in South Africa, here with what we did to African Americans, it's fear. It's fear they're going to rise up and take shit away from us. So the people in power are batshit crazy afraid. So what you want to do and why, if you want to look at a movement you could get behind, that everybody got behind, is Martin Luther King, for example. The guy didn't go on there and act all uppity. He wasn't Mr. Uppity. It was about passive. Hold on a second. It was about love. He was a minister, and no one acted uppity. They did boycotts. They talked about love and God, and I have a dream. And he came from a very loving place. And the oppressor kind of relaxed a little bit, like, Jesus Christ, this guy's not so bad. I'm not going to have to worry about 100,000 black people burning my house down. They just want to drink at our goddamn water fountains. Fuck it. You guys can drink at the water fountains. You're not so bad. What you guys are doing now, you're still kind of figuring out how you want to organize and how you want to make your moves. People like you need to be in the forefront. The crazy batshit loonies, you guys should fucking lock them up, you know, medicate them, put them in a camp, whatever you got to do. Like Todd said, lock them up. Don't bring them to meetings because they're gonna screw you up. I got to take this call because I do.
Well,
love
no
Brody.
Problem too, as you take.
Well,
but
can I respond to that one little part though? The difference between MLK when Martin Luther King was talking, so was Malcolm X, right? Like the difference between Martin Luther King and the trans movement is not that different. If you look at the organized trans movements and what we're talking, how we talk to the Senate and the leaders of the trans movement, who you not talk to because you're not talking to them, you're talking to the You're turning the crazy individuals and treating it like the class. It is a peaceful, it is a nonviolent movement. It isn't that sort of batshit crazy. If Twitter was around during the civil rights movement, I bet you could make the same claim. You know what I mean?
That's
like,
an excellent
There were
point.
A lot of
That's like a
that
time. But black people couldn't, they couldn't get computers
too,
back then.
Jake and Shadi, I wanted to say, too, that very few have taken the time, like Shadi or Thomas, to be patient and explain things that we are obviously ignorant on because we didn't grow up that way. And literally down to explaining that the penis doesn't work on a true transgender woman. There's nothing to fear because there is a penis phobia more than a transphobia, which is what I think it gets taken so personally. And if I say something about we don't want dicks in the girls' room, you know, just from a year ago, and get called a crazy transphobe fish bitch, you know, like I start to be like, whoa, wow, this is a weird reaction.
Where Shadi took the time. It wasn't
you
because
the
you were doing that.
You took the time to explain physiologically, and it took me about 6 months, I'm not kidding, to really grasp the fact. I don't fear trans women. I more fear men. You know, I fear men, and it's not trans women. I definitely don't. And it somehow I relate the two, and it was hard for me to separate, and I have, and it took me about 6 months.
Well, that's not entirely true. Before we go to the call, Jen, you and I did make it very clear that it was about penis, and it had nothing to do with transgender.
Penis.
We just didn't want dicks. Yeah, it was a dick phobia, we said. And we made that case.
I said transphobia way back then, and I was still called transphobic. But Shadi took the time to explain that the penis is not really a penis anymore. It's changed from the hormones, and they're not even functional. So, I mean, it made me feel safer in a sense. Like, these aren't men coming in the women's room.
It's like a married man.
And that's my own issues, the fear, but I'm not the only one with those issues, is what I'm saying. I'm clearly not the only one afraid of penises.
Okay, let's get on to the issues now. We've blabbered on enough. We're all friends. I'm very happy. Brody, you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted your guys' opinion on a very absurd news story that I came across this week, and it was regarding a transgender girl who goes to a high school not too far from where I live, and she was repeatedly using the girls' bathroom, and due to complaints from other girls in the school, she was threatened to be suspended for a day by the principal. But after her mother, who said, let me find this quote right here. It is wrong for them to discriminate against my child, and we need education. So after her mother claimed that it was discrimination, and so did the daughter, the school board dropped the suspension, and I just wanted to know what you guys think about that.
Where was that?
This was in Nova Scotia, Canada.
Okay.
So they dropped the suspension, you're saying, Brody, or the article's saying they dropped it because they were afraid.
This article was structured was they dropped it because of fear of lawsuits from the parents and other, you know, transgender activists.
Yeah. Discrimination is like the power word of the pussy movement. It's like all they have to do is draw. It's like bully. You say bully or discriminate, and then everyone freaks out because they know lawsuits are next, and they're going to lose their business like the gay bakery. So I'm against the school suspending her in the first place, for the record. What they should have done is they should have talked to her and the parents and all the girls and asked them collectively if they were comfortable. Because she's not really transgendered in the sense that she's not taking any sort of medication yet, right? Or hormone blockers or anything. She was just saying it was a boy that
it was
presented as a boy.
A boy dressed as a girl, I would say. Yeah,
right.
But... Uh-huh.
Okay, so that's one
living,
of the issues I have.
She's living as a girl.
Yes.
But
right?
She's not, okay.
She identifies, for example, she considers herself a transgender. This is what the whole article was about. This wasn't a label anyone put on her. This, you know.
But the girls in the high school see a boy in a dress.
Yes.
And they probably, I mean, how many high school girls want a boy in their bathroom?
Probably
not. I mean,
we've
all been in high school. I mean, so, like, I said this a long time ago. I think the penis phobia
thing. It would have freaked me out in high school, honestly, if I knew there was a girl next to me that had a penis. But that's, I'm telling you, I don't know. It's an issue that I'm having to wrap my own head around and learn. I'm more concerned, like I said to Shadi before, about straight boys that want to be a funny little pervert smartass and say, I feel like a girl, and go into the bathroom. You know, that was my more realistic, and it seemed like parental concern that I hear from most parents.
Well, that would make sense. You make a good point.
Which is not, it's not a good point because that doesn't happen. Because boys, straight boys who want to get their jollies off in school by looking at girls aren't going to come out as transgender to do it, you know, and that's the
for
thing
a
that
day?
It's about. It's
for
not
a
about
day.
I would. What do you mean they're not going to? I'm going to do it tomorrow.
Every man I've talked
because
to
it's
said
not
they
about.
Would.
No,
totally going to do it.
No, hold on.
I have
There's
getting
a difference
sized for a dress
between,
right now.
What you're saying is that you would put on a dress to do it. You would put on a dress to go peek at girls. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, I'd say I feel like a woman today.
They're going to dare each other. It'll be a game.
Let me get through this if I can. Yeah, let me just finish this because I understand your point. You don't have to make it.
Okay.
That seems correct, especially to older men. That seems correct because there's the idea they didn't have the internet. They didn't know how to look at girls, and it was something that they could do. The thing is that you're not putting on a dress to get access to the girls' room as a straight boy, and then all of a sudden getting away with it. That is not going to happen. It's not a real concern. It's a slippery slope. Because what you're actually telling these saying that these boys are going to do is they're going to come out as transgender. And when you come out as transgender, it's not putting on a dress for a day and then going back to it. No girl's going to, like, let that fly. No school administrator's going to let that fly. That boy coming out as transgender is going to be brought down to the office. What's your preferred name? Let's have a meeting with the school. Let's come out to all the students. Let's make sure that you, if you're on a football team or you're on the men's baseball team, we're going to pull you from that sport because you no longer identify as male, so you can't play that sport anymore. If you're in, you know what I mean? It's like, it's not putting on a dress. It's being transgender. It's massively different, and it's institutional, and it's not going to be something where, you know, that's just such a ridiculous notion that somebody could put on a dress and get away with it.
Well, the law is, Jen is going to bring this up, and so is Brody, but we'll just get into it. But in California, Jen, do you want to explain the law?
Yeah, the law is actually, the law is already going into effect in January. It's a new act that was passed by legislature in California where, here it is exactly, a pupil shall be permitted to participate in sex-segregated school programs and activities, including athletic teams and competitions, and use facilities consistent with his or her gender identity, irrespective of the gender listed on the pupil's record. So it can say male, but you're living as a female, and you can go in whichever locker room you identify with, whichever team you identify with. So now there's a referendum against that act that's being passed around, trying to get us to sign it so it can be voted on and voted against, similar to what Shadi said, like Prop 8.
Right. Here's the important thing in this language here, Shadi. Facilities consistent with his or her gender identity, irrespective of the gender listed on the pupil's records. There's nothing in this law that says they're going to be pulled from teams, that they have to prove it, quote unquote, that they've got to go to the counselors. It doesn't say that anywhere. If it did say that, that they would have to pass and be a transgender, quote unquote, and whatever that is, you have to get an ID or whatever the fuck that means. It doesn't say that in the law. It just says they can go in based off how they feel, regardless of what they are.
It's how they identify, not how they feel. And here's the reason why the law is that way.
What's the difference with that? Real quick, what's the difference between how you identify and how you feel? I don't understand the difference.
I think identity also has like a social aspect to it. Like you can't say you identify something. They're not going to buy the identity. Here's the thing. We can get into the nuts and bolts of it. The concept of gender identity is vague and flawed, right?
Right.
If the law said transsexual requiring this stuff, the same stuff would happen. People would still see the same kind of issues. Because if you said, say, transsexual, and you were specifically talking about changing one sex, and you required a hormone requirement, these people would be up in arms about how kids shouldn't be put on hormones. These people would be up in arms about how kids can't change their sex. So gender identity is loose, but it doesn't change the base fact. But it doesn't change the base, like the base animus that people have when they're trying to say you have to, if you're a boy, you have to be this gender, and if you're a girl, you have to be this gender. That base animus is still there. So this language is vague because it's politically like efficient for us. It's working. Transsexual has like a really nasty connotation. Transgender has a really nasty conversation, and it brings up this idea of other. But gender identity, everyone has that. Everyone has a gender identity. So then people have to think about it and go like, okay, gender identity doesn't mean them. It doesn't mean freaks. It doesn't mean whatever.
No.
Shit I have in my
head. I hear what you're saying, but, you're missing an important
something.
Point here.
No, but I'm not missing the point. So what I'm
you say,
what I'm saying, just a second.
No, I know.
I'm saying it.
She said just a second. Be polite, Jake.
He said just a second.
I
like
agree that it's. I agree that it's vague. I agree with you. I'm not missing the point. I agree with you. But it's politically expedient, and the courts will narrow it down based on incidents. The first time that a kid, some straight baseball player, puts on a dress to go in the room, then it'll come, and then the courts decide, hey, you know what? We need persistent gender identity. We need, you know, validated gender identity. We need these things. But that's based on the incidents, and here's the thing. In the places where the gender identity laws have been in effect for, you know, 10 years, like in the L.A. school district, that has never happened. So there's a difference between, like, vague laws and theoretical things and the truth. And the truth is that it does not happen. And when it happens, the courts, not the legislator or the public, will decide how to, like, limit it.
Here's what you do. I'm going to solve another problem. That's what I do. You go to the schools. You have a student who's saying, I am transgender. Okay? That student has to, quote-unquote, come out, has to present. They have to have a school assembly. They have to educate all the other students. No, I'm serious. Educate all the students going, Sally here now wants to be Sam, and here's what it means. She's not a freak. This is how she identifies. You have educational courses. They would like to use the facility. We will take a vote. How do you girls feel or you boys feel about this person using your facilities before they can get on hormones because they're too young? And then you take a collective vote. If the students say, we don't want that person in our bathroom, it makes us uncomfortable, then the next step is to use a third facility, either the teachers' facilities or a private facility or a handicap facility, something like that, and it would work together, and everybody would be out on board, and everybody would be in total unison from beginning to end. Everybody would be comfortable in being able to air their shit. What you guys do, and what a lot of pussies do that makes me crazy, is you'll just push a law through, and you'll say, oh, it's vague, we'll deal with it when we deal with it, and then get upset when those of us go, we're not comfortable with this. I don't want this. How am I not being heard? And just the last point I want to make, you keep talking about how you aren't understood and people don't identify with you, but we don't feel, us cis, quote-unquote cis people, we don't feel like we're being listened to. When I say I'm not comfortable with Lurch and a dress in my bathroom, that should be heard. That shouldn't
You've
be
been
insulted.
Heard
but what about my
years?
Friend that's a Lurch, that's literally, and I'll never say her name on here, but she's a cis female, a serious, hello? Are you there?
Yeah, we're all here.
I thought I heard a click, like a hang up. But she was born, a female, and she's 6 foot tall, not pretty. I mean, just scary. When I was a kid, I was scared of her. So what do we say about that? She doesn't present well as a female.
You say life's hard when you're ugly. Welcome to the planet. Don't be a pussy. You're ugly. Deal with it. Why can't
but
we say
I think
that?
I think.
But really, why can't we just say you're ugly? And I'm sorry that you're ugly. I'm sorry that your ugliness makes people uncomfortable. But just don't be a puss. You're ugly.
Well, she's really sweet, and I think she overcompensates. She overcompensates with her sweetness, and I think that's what she learned. It's like people are afraid of me, so she's very sweet. Like, she's very, like, her, once she opens her mouth, her voice is, she's very, like, oh, hi, how are you? Like, very kind and very sweet. So I think she understood she scared people because she's 6 feet
tall. Yeah, she had to develop her personality because she wasn't going to get by in her looks, so she's not a pussy. Instead of going out and saying, we need to make laws where an ugly woman that looks like me is treated fairly, she's like, I'm just going to work on my personality a little bit, and maybe I'll make friends in my life a little easier. Why is that so difficult?
I think having private bathrooms and private gym changing areas is good for anybody. Good for me.
For sure, I have a tiny dip.
Like,
I don't want to be able to see
my
dip.
I was
going to
say, I had the flattest boobs ever, and I didn't want to change in front of all these girls who had bush and boobs everywhere, and
yeah.
I was underdeveloped. It was very embarrassing for me. I had to fake my period.
Now.
Dude, I have two bellies. I have a pot belly, and then I've got a fat patch belly above my dick. I have, like, two stacking bellies. And when I was in high school, when I was in high school, I was fat, and I had a tiny little flaccid penis, and my fat fupa would push the foreskin, so I'd get, like, a turtle dick. It looked like it was decapitated. And they're like, hey, you're an 11-year-old boy. You should go change with other boys. And I said, no. What are my options? So I took tap dance with a known child molester because I didn't want to change in front of boys. That's boy and boy.
There should be options for privacy for everybody. I don't think it's fair that they throw us all in a gym.
Well, we're getting off on a tangent. Can we just stick to the point here, Shelly?
No, it's part of that, like, there should be that option for a transgender person, for me who's overly modest and underdeveloped. And, you know, there should be options for all kids to feel comfortable to be able to use the bathroom they need to or to go, like, to be able to go to the bathroom without worrying about getting teased or beat up.
But that's such a pussy statement, though, Jen, because, you know,
I don't
it's
want my kid beat up. What if he's beat up for having small balls all the time? I want him to go into another bathroom.
Dude, I have girl hands and a tiny dick, and I fucking, even though it was a pussy move to get out, I did risk getting butt raped by the tap dancer every single day. I made my choice. It was uncomfortable, but I was like, I don't want to, I'm uncomfortable in this bathroom. I'm going to pussy out, and then I went in probably an arguably more dangerous situation. But I didn't go to the school and say, you need, because I have a small dick and a fat fupa and a pot belly and tits and tiny girl hands, I need my own bathroom. I never said that. What are my options? You have the child molester tap dancer, or everyone's going to make fun of your decapitated turtle dick. I chose the tap dancer. That's what I'm saying. Why is it so difficult? This is my final question to you, Shetty. For everybody, not just the transgender community, why is it so difficult for people when they're uncomfortable or they're ugly? Why do they feel the need to change everybody's perception, get the whole world twisted up and about, make all sorts of new laws? Why can't you guys just accept sometimes your ugliness is offensive and you need to go to your own place? Why is that so scary and horrible?
Are you religious?
No.
At one time, you would be killed for that. That
dude, I would get killed three times a week and someday for shit I say. On some
I'm saying
I love hearing myself
what
talk.
What I'm saying is, at that point, it was that was the decision. That was a social construct, like during the Inquisition, right? You would be killed for doing anything, not even just for not being religious, but for doing anything against an institutional power, against the Catholic Church. There is such a thing as oppression. There is such a thing as the tyranny of the majority. There is such a thing as power dynamics, and there are such a things as people being afraid economically. It's just like they're going to take our jobs, so we are going to treat them as subhuman. Trans people are treated as subhuman. This isn't about our appearance as much as it is about as a class, we are like completely unrecognized in a lot of ways. And the thing is that the people that are educated about it have changed their minds. It's not a pussy move. It's just a move. It's just evolution of like decriminalization. That's the thing. We were criminalized until the 70s. You could not do cross-gender behavior. Christians said, Adam and Eve, that's it. You couldn't do cross, like, sexual behavior. Homosexuals were criminalized. It was a criminal act forever. And so this is a movement of liberation. It's not about feelings. It's about decriminalization of a type of human being that exists, a natural type of human being. That's how we see it. So
that's
it's not
beautiful.
About, like, okay.
I mean, great. I applaud it. And when it sticks to that, when your movement sticks to that, I don't think anyone has an issue with it. I don't see anyone having an issue with you saying
we just
want to not be subhuman. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, on the overall, that is what we're doing. That is what we're doing politically. That's how we present it in politics. That's how we present it in everything. You can't let Twitter, this new comic strip medium of bullshit and anger.
It's not just Twitter, Shadi. It's the entire civilization. You look, everywhere you look, somebody's feelings are being hurt and everything's being changed. No, like for instance, in some town, listen to me now. Back in April, some town had an Easter fair. It was Easter fucking egg hunt for the town, and there was one fucking, like, non-Christian person that freaked out. I think it was a Jewish lady, and said, I feel oppressed that you're having Easter in this community because there's other religions to be represented. It was one person. Well, the town changed it to something like Fall Egg Hunt Festival. That's the shit I'm talking. Hold on a second. I'm not talking about being subhuman or treated subhuman. I'm with you there. But when it's just one little person here going, this makes me uncomfortable, or this bakery won't bake a cake because I'm having a gay wedding, so let's shut them down, that's the pussy move. Just, there is a point where it's a fucking community where they want to have Easter, and 99% of them are Christian. If you don't like it, move. If I had a problem with the Christian community, I wouldn't live there. I would go, you know what, I'm an agnostic. I'm going to go somewhere where we can have the Fall Eggland Festival. But if this is an Easter town, then I'm not going to throw a big fucking fuss. I'll go somewhere else. I'll go take tap dance lessons from a child molester. That's why can't people do that anymore? Why can't people just say, I'm going to remove myself from this situation because it's uncomfortable? No, now it's, I'm going to make all of you fucking pay. Everything you guys hold dear, I'm going to fucking crumble. I'm going to punish it so you understand what it's like to be oppressed. I'm going to oppress you. You guys don't even see it. You're not even aware that a lot of times your movement is victimizing in itself. And
no,
I talk about that weekly. Not you.
Yeah,
again, I like you. You're fine.
That's one way to look at it, but you could also look at why do the fucking Christians, like, co-opt the fertility feast of hiding eggs?
Now you're getting crazy. Because that's
no,
how
that's
Christians got more Christians. That's what they go to the town, and there'd be some pagans going, oh, we're going to worship fucking Esther, and they're like, you know what, come over here, there's cake and candy, and you can have your stupid egg festival. We'll call it something else. And they're like, okay.
Yeah.
They weren't, like,
so
beheading
just,
people.
But oh, they were, though.
Well, they were, but I mean in that case.
No, but they were then, too.
The
way Christianity
spread.
How the
pussy movement
spread. Co-opting these things. Yeah, how Christianity spread, which was not the pussy movement, is the exact opposite. It was pretty badass, was cutting off people's heads, destroying the outliers, and segregating communities. You're talking about segregation. Why can't you move? Why can't the black people, you know, just, they can have their state, we can have our state.
They do.
Not,
they have, like, south of Crenshaw over here. They have, like, this whole plot of land.
And it's mostly because in our society we draw a line, and it tends to be at genitals. You know, like, when we separate things, and it has to do with genitals. For some reason, we have that line that's drawn. Otherwise, I mean, we might as well just have, which, you know, that's a whole other story, like Sweden or wherever it was. We might as well have just one place. Like,
no.
Why are we separating anyway at all?
I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that.
Why are we separating?
Why do we separate genders, period?
Because,
like,
men
why?
And women are different. They're different. Their minds work different. Their bodies work different.
Men and women are not different. That is a social
they're
construct.
They're completely different.
No,
work your phone after you got your hormone replacement therapy. You couldn't figure out your speaker.
Well, that's an interesting point, though. That's what you're talking about.
Can you do
though,
math
right?
now?
I'm a mathematician, Jake. Don't even go math, so shut up.
Let me just say
math
this. Women and men.
Like, that was completely disproven. Women are excellent
I know.
In math. What I'm saying is, like, there are these things that have – the oppression has existed for so long, and we got oppressed by people cutting off heads, by people killing people that had the other view. But now when people are doing this, like, oh, you know what, we're not going to kill you. We're not going to force you out of town. That's a progression of society. That's good. And we get to reclaim Easter back to just be the fertility feast that everybody can be involved in. So we're not going to draw these lines. And maybe this is just coming from a person that doesn't have, like, ethnicity and has, like, a pretty shitty background as far as, like, you know, I wasn't part of a culture. So I don't have those kind of cultural beliefs, and I'm not religious. But to me it's just, like, yeah, let everybody do fun shit, you know? Like, let everybody find eggs and get candy and don't co-opt it by killing people 2,000 years ago. Or if you did, we're going to undo it now. And the same thing happened with transsexuals.
Do you,
like,
hear yourself, though? Just back up. Like, I hear what you're saying, but you're skipping over the fact that you obviously have, and a lot of people have issues with the history of Christians and the Christian movement, blah, blah, blah.
And that was thousands of oppression.
That was thousands of years ago, 500 to 1,500, 2,000 years ago and whatnot. And now we're talking about a little Americana town somewhere in Oregon, and you're bringing that up. When they go, we just have Easter, you start talking about oppression and the pagans and taking things away, and it's like, dude, they just want to fucking hunt Easter eggs and call it Easter. They don't know. They weren't there in the Inquisition. They weren't fucking around back in the days. None of us were
now
out
beheading
people.
Now they're just oppressing by throwing their LGBT kids out of their houses.
No, what they're doing
curb.
Is they're
now
like,
they're
hey, Easter in my family was a time when we could all gather around and color eggs, and we don't know what the fuck it means, but it was fun. We had a nice time, and then someone comes along and goes, you evil beheading Christians are ruining everything. We
can't help this.
And it's just, anyway, we're getting off on a tangent. Let's talk one more issue before we go.
It depends about if it's institutionally sanctioned, if it's safe, the state sanctioned. You can do whatever you want in your house. Like, nobody's saying Easter, we're going to destroy Easter. It's more about, it probably had a lot more to do with religious symbolism. There's more to it. They probably put up a giant cross in the middle of the town square.
Who cares? But who cares?
Huh?
Who cares?
Well,
like I said, I was raised Jewish, and I'm agnostic.
Jake,
like, I have no religion.
You're letting on, that they are. Just saying.
No, but again, you guys, I don't want to get off on a whole theocracy argument about Christians. I'm just saying, when I think of Christians, I think of the Christians I know and see in the world today, not...
Well, that's what I'm talking about, too, and the ones that I see today represent really, terrible fucking things, so...
All right, well, again, you both are obviously sensitive to Christians, and that's fine. I used to be, too.
I grew up hearing that
I killed Jesus my whole life, and I used to be like, these fucking Christians are dipshits. And then one day I was like, you know what? I wasn't even there. That was 2,000 years ago. I didn't kill Jesus.
Yeah.
First of all, Jesus was a Jew, you idiots. And then I just got over it. That's what I'm trying to tell you too. Just get over it.
Well,
please, just can everybody just get over it? Can we just all get over it?
But you're not over it.
I am over it.
You can't get over it. Like, I'm almost over it, Jake, I'll be honest. Like, I'm not super comfortable with certain situations, but I'm kind of like, fuck it, whatever. I'm just going to teach my kid to be strong, protect himself in the locker room if we're worried about rape or any of those things.
Hold it, Jake.
I'm more for why do we have to keep it separate? I'm more for this is getting out of hand. This is getting to where we need category A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Let's just make it one category, as in when we go to school. Well, do you remember Ally McBeal? Do you remember their unisex bathroom?
See the difference between men and women, Shadi? She's arguing with Ally McBeal.
No, I'm saying that bathroom, that environment, it didn't seem that weird to go in there as long as there was stalls.
But that's because it's marked. No, they say this is a co-ed bathroom, and everybody knows going in.
I wouldn't use a shady park bathroom anyway, period. So if that was unisex, I wouldn't go in it. I'd pee in a hole first. So
we're jumping on.
Unisex bathrooms probably have, a lockable door and that kind of thing. And we're talking about, you're talking about, as a society, are we going to be around each other in vulnerable positions? And women's bathrooms tend to have, closed stalls. It's different than urinals. Different. And even in urinals.
I go into them all the time.
You go into women's bathrooms.
I do. I have a hole. I put on a dress and I go in.
He's going to start making a series of him going in women's restrooms.
I am. I'm going to change this law retroactively. Or proactively, I think that was the wrong word. Let's just wrap this up because I got to go. Let's just take a moment and realize that, everyone just wants to be heard. Everybody has a valid point here, but the problem is when you start talking, Shadi, if I were to ask you what's a perfect society for you, I have a feeling you would say things like gender wouldn't matter and it would be all beautiful and utopia. But what I hear when I hear that is completely homogenized. I hear anybody that stands out that might even be bright or different is going to get dulled, and pretty much every moron rock is going to get polished because everybody's got to be equal. And the thing is, this is how I want to end the show, is we're not equal. A lot of people aren't equal. Some are smarter. Some are better. Some are stupid. Some are fucking morons. And the society you want where everybody's equal is irrational and terrifying, and I will even argue at some level it's almost Nazi-esque, because what you're saying is everybody is going to be this one perfect race, and that's just not what it is. Some people are better than others. And why do we have... Oh, go ahead.
I read Harrison Bergeron, and you realize you're totally arguing with yourself right now, just like you're arguing with Larry in the dress. I would never say that.
I assumed you would. I apologize.
The bioessentialists of male, because penis and vaginas, that's the distinction in the world. To me, it's not about that. It's much more, if you read into intersectionality, that's what I look at. Some people are oppressors. Some people have the privilege to oppress. Are you oppressing or not? Merit is awesome. I came, in the class-based oppression, I beat my class-based oppression. You know what I mean? Based on my merit, based on my IQ and my hard work. I love merit stuff. This isn't, there's no like perfect society. We're animals. We're natural selection. There's fucking and there's procreating and we're going to change and we're going to mutate. And I'm sure if you imagine a perfect society, you're not even picturing what human beings look like correctly. So there's none of that. What I'm talking about is right now, we have to look at our privilege, we have to look at the intersections of oppression, and we have to realize who's oppressing and who's not. Because I would say that, like, as much as people say, like, there nothing matters, I'd say your argument is about nothing mattering, that the oppressed people have the same, should have the same right to be heard as the oppressed, even though they've only been the ones that have been heard for thousands of years. So it's like, no, that's not the case anymore. We're being decriminalized and heard for the first time ever, and you have to change your systems because your systems were based on oppression.
Well, I wish you the best of luck in that. I mean, again, I don't want anyone having an issue going to the – what's that?
Oh, I said we'll win. It's already working. It's been working.
Well, that's good. You should.
You've been
progressing. The antithesis, when you're anti-pussy movement, as I am, because they're oppressive, what you want is you want everybody to essentially – there is a utopia, and it is now. It's possible. It's one where everybody's not a giant sniveling pussy, and everybody can take responsibility for their own bullshit. They can take responsibility for their own dysfunction and function, and they can make the world better in their small circles with their families and how they present in society. They can do it right now. And the basis is there's only one rule to have utopia in Jake Land, the cult of Jake, is that just don't be a big pussy. And I know that sounds simple and I'm oversimplifying, but it's absolutely true. In this case, if you're not a pussy, you would have no issue with transgender people being able to use the restroom. You would say, you know what, you stood up for yourself. You went to the Senate. You did present. You made a valid argument. You want to not be criminalized. You're making good cases. You know what, you're not a pussy. I don't care if you're allergic to dress, come in the bathroom. You've earned
it.
Yeah,
and you know what?
That's a non-pussy society.
The woman standing up to her whole town about her feelings is not a pussy either. Standing up
no,
to
that's
a
pussy.
Whole town?
You're talking about the Easter.
No.
Total pussy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a pussy.
No,
thing.
How is it?
No.
She's standing up to her whole
town.
Here's
a non-pussy movement. I live in a Christian society in this town. This is obviously very Christian influenced, and this is what makes them happy. And I'm going to not be a sniveling pussy that says they have to have everything they believe in destroyed so I'm comfortable. I'm going to recognize I'm a very small part of this, and I'm just going to swallow, and I'm going to go to the goddamn Easter festival and hunt some goddamn eggs. That's what they would do. Yeah. That's the non-pussy thing to do. Now, if they were being burned and called Christ killer, and they were, like, fucking being forced out of their house, well, that's the pussy movement from the other side. The Christians are being pussies now because they're so terrified of one person disagreeing with them that they're going to oppress them and burn their house down. Then she'd have an argument. They just want to call her
eggs. That's great. You're intersectional.
You
don't believe in oppression. That's the thing.
You
and
I
believe the same thing. You and I believe the same thing.
No, I do believe that people can be oppressive, absolutely. I've seen it. History is littered with people being oppressive. I just think the problem is that they're not admitting the reason in which they oppress is because they're giant sniveling pussies that have to keep somebody threatening down. That's why we oppress. We don't oppress because it's natural, because we're just fucking horrible people. We oppress because we're afraid if those people band together and rise up, they're going to take what's mine. That's why we oppress. So it's a pussy move. Again, in utopia, you'd go, you know what, I'm not afraid if these 30 black guys meet and talk. I don't think they're going to come take my job. Maybe they're just sitting around talking. I'm not going to be so terrified by it. Then I don't need to oppress them. So if there's, personal responsibility and not being a pussy, you have utopia. I've been saying it for 2 years. I've saved the world and the transgender movement. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Do we have anything else to cover, Jen? I'll give Shadi a final word.
Lots of stuff, but I enjoyed Shadi. I thought she has helped me personally, so I imagine a lot of other people, to understand better. And I've never judged people. I've had fears, and I know that gets called transphobic as soon as I say the word fear, but it's true. And I talk and I learn. And to me, I am very proactive. So I think if you just keep going with your attitude and being, and I know I've said in anger that you're a bad spokesperson, but you're a very good spokesperson for your
thank
rights
you. Oh,
and
you mean
your beliefs. No, I'm not talking to you, Jake. You're a little shit. But she's done, I think she's done amazing things, and she will sit there and engage with people that are being horrible, like horrible, and still stay rational and calm, because I think she knows the importance of reaching certain people, and she's
I'll tell you why.
Mission. And I am not going to sign that referendum to put that on the ballot, and part of that is because of Shadi, and
I'm putting on a dress and burning that law.
They're trying to make it illegal for Thomas to use the bathroom in Arizona, you know, the men's restroom, like where he will go to jail. So, you know, that's where it can lead to. So my hands are in the air. I'm trusting people and hoping
that's beautiful.
This all goes in a positive direction. Well, you know what, Jake? I can only hate so much, and I don't hate specific genders. I hate people that hurt people. So I don't feel like transgender people are hurting anybody. I hate people that hurt people, and that's what I need to focus on. So
that's a beautiful message.
Why don't
you
focus on that too, Jake?
I will if you let me talk. Shadi, I want to thank you so much for calling. The reason I do like you, you're able to stay in the pocket. You don't get over emotional. You're able to talk points and discuss rational. And you're always respectful and honest, and I appreciate you calling in. And the reason you can do that is because you're not a giant sniveling pussy. And that's why I'm very happy that you called to discuss these issues, and I wish you and your counterparts and peers the best of luck in your fight for equality. Do you have any final words?
You aren't on mute, Brody, by the way. Brody says he's on mute. He's not on mute.
No, you're not on mute, Brody. There's just not a lot of chances to talk. Final word, Shadi, because CMW is on the line, and I do want to talk to him.
Okay, cool. Well, thank you both. We need your help, though. There aren't enough trans people. There aren't enough. Just hold on. You said I could say it. There aren't enough minorities in the world to kind of work. So if you see something where you see like, you know what? Good point. We don't want men in the women's room. But we're going to create a law that says that trans men have to go into the women's room. Like, we have to be logical about it. And if you're being logical about it, then, just don't be shitty. But the thing that you're talking about is Jen said it and you said it. You don't like oppressive people. You don't like assholes. And that's not, like, your personal opinion. That's, like, been studied. Like, that's what intersectionality is. That's where we look. Who's being privileged? Who's being oppressive? Who's doing this, and how do we act around those people? So it's not that I'm just sort of saying, like, I'm going to be nice to everybody. I'm going to say, like, hey, I'm going to teach you about your privilege and why you as a woman, Jen, have some shit over me as a woman. So, like, you know, check it. Like, watch it. And if people, like, look up intersectionality, they can learn how to say it.
Oh, no, you didn't.
I have a lot of privilege, too, because I'm intelligent and white and male, and I think it's earned. And deserved. That's all I have to say.
Your whiteness is earned,
It's totally
good
earned.
Job.
Obviously, God, when he made me, he was like, okay, this is a special animal. We want him to impact people in a positive way. Let's make him a white man. So obviously, I'm ordained and special and different. That's fine. I'm happy about it. All right, Shadi, thank you so much. Always a pleasure.
Okay,
Brody, did you have any final words?
Shadi.
I know that there wasn't a lot of time to talk because Jen and Shadi talk over me the whole time. Do you have anything to say, Brody?
I did, but it was just like you can only say certain things in that moment, but when you go past like 20 minutes, you can't really, you know, bring that up again. So, no, I'm fine.
All right, we'll do a blog later. All right, thank you, Brody.
Yeah.
Thanks, Brody.
Jen, did you have any final words before I go to CMW?
No, I said my final words. Thank you. I feel like it's been discussing that for 4 hours, but
I thought it was a fresh perspective. I know, because we didn't even talk about the medication that Shadi's for and Thomas is against, where they can now prevent preteens from going through puberty. So if like a little 9-year-old girl is like, a 9-year-old boy is like, I feel like a woman, he can take pills to not become a man through puberty. So he won't get the jawline or the deep voice. And that's a huge issue we wanted to talk to Shadi about. We'll have Shadi back on to talk about that.
We don't have time to talk about that for sure. And maybe then we could have Thomas, because it is a good debate. And they both went through it without hormone therapy.
Thomas is anti-hormone therapy, and Shadi is pro. So let's set that up for a different discussion. All right. Well, thank you, everybody. CMW, you are on the line.
Okay, I wanted to talk about the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. This act means that it's a crime to discriminate people who are LGBT, and it was on the news, and I guess Obama's going to sign it, but whatever, we'll see how that goes.
So what does that mean? You can't fire people if they're gay, basically?
Yeah, you can't fire people, and you can't discriminate. That's what it means.
I thought it already is that way. Jeez, how backwards are we?
Yeah, well... Go ahead.
No, what is the law, essentially? Because it sounds totally pussy, to be honest with you. I want to make sure I'm hearing it correctly. You can't fire someone if... What if they're gay? What if they suck at their job?
Well, I don't... I mean, this was on the local news, and I talked about it on Twitter a few days ago, but I don't have a link to really explain it. But what I know, because I wrote everything down, and this was on my local news, but what I know is, the only thing I know, and I'll call back and talk about it more in detail, but the only thing I know is that it's a crime to discriminate people who just because they're gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender.
Okay.
And
well,
it
I mean,
should
be. Yeah, that should be against the law, I guess, but then that scares me, because like everything, there's always a counter to a counter, and I'm not. When I talk about things, people think I'm saying, "Yeah, you should be able to fire them because they're gay." I'm not saying that. I'm thinking long-term situation here is that if you have an employee who's shitty, because everyone knows there's shitty employees everywhere, and you fire them, what's to stop them from coming out and saying you fired them because they were gay, and then suing you, and then retiring off the money? And that's a legit concern with anything. Now, I'm not saying throw out the law, but it's just again. You can't really trust people anymore because more and more people are being infected by this pussy virus and they're all losing their fucking minds. So that now, I guarantee you when this law passes, there's a multitude of people going, I'm going to do a shitty job, I'm going to get fired, and then I'm going to sue for discrimination. I know people think that way. And it terrifies me. Anyway, well, we'll do that
just
one
like
more.
The
depth. I thought you were
gonna... thing terrifies us, and I don't know, like they said, if it's as realistic, if it's going to happen as much.
Well, here's the deal.
You know, like boys pretending to be girls just to get in there. Everyone's so adamant, that's never going to happen. No one's going to do that. I would bet everything on the fact that it will happen as a joke, and they'll get suspended, and it'll...
Yeah.
But they're going to test that for sure. They're little perverts.
I'm going to do it. I'm not joking. I'm going to do it. No, because what like Shadi said, is when that starts happening, then we'll change the law so it's... you know, makes more sense. So I'm seeing it as an opportunity, like, oh, I need to get a bunch of boys together. We all got to dress up in dresses, and we got to go to multitude girls' bathrooms, like in a movement. This should be the Cult of Jake movement. I should require everyone to do this. And then we'll get that law changed, because that's just retarded. We don't want boys in girls' bathrooms. CMW, anything else?
No, I think, well, I was going to call and apologize for calling your names a few days ago, but...
Did you call them names again, Chris?
No need to apologize.
Shit.
For calling your names. Thank
because,
you, Chris.
Well, here's what happened.
Oh,
I was...
Whoops. No, go back.
I didn't...
All right, you're back on. Go on.
I'm back on?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay,
you're
well, here's
on.
What happened. I was talking to Jake. Well, I wasn't talking. I was talking. I didn't see Jake tweet me, and I was tweeting him about a bunch of stuff. And then I seen that I thought he was ignoring me. And then he said, "Yay, I like this," and I took offense to it. And then I like started calling him some names, and then I felt bad. That's what happened.
Yeah, no need to feel bad. I'm used to the litany of attacks that I'm receiving now that I'm ignoring everybody. So it doesn't even bother me anymore. I'm sorry. I'm sorry that people fucking. I'm so sorry that I have my life. And I can't fucking respond to every goddamn thing. Excuse me.
Yeah, he had Grand Theft Auto to beat, you bitches.
Yeah, and I did beat Grand Theft Auto. All right, let's wrap this shit up. Here's what I got to say. Final thoughts here, Jen. There is a real chance for utopia, okay? And if people really did do what I said and listen to me, I really have figured it out. And this is not a joke. I've been saying this for years. Everyone thinks I'm joking. But if you could imagine a society where people took responsibility for themselves and they weren't giant vaginas Imagine the world that would unveil itself tomorrow if everyone decided to do that. Just think about it, just for a second. I want everyone to just think about it. You'll go to the logic thing. You know what? Here's a contest or a chance to call me back next week. I want everyone to think about it and then come back at me why that won't work. And I want you all to think like, No, because at the end, if people are taking responsibility and they're not pussies, everything will work. Everything will work perfectly. I've thought this out already. So this is the Jake Pentland movement. We're going to start getting serious about it. It's not just a podcast here. We are spreading the word of personal responsibility and not being a giant pussy. Those two things together will solve 99% of every issue in this country. I guarantee it. You just have to trust me now. But it will solve every problem, and we'll have a much better society, and we'll start kicking the chink's ass again. Right, Jen?
Did you say chink?
Yeah. Is that offensive? Pussy about it? You going to cry about it?
Yeah. We're not friends anymore.
Yeah, whatever. We never were friends. I do miss you too, Jen. I'm sorry that I haven't been talking to you recently. But next week, it looks like I'll get my life back and we can start talking again.
Yay. You better fix that before I kill people for real.
I know. But I'll still get fucking tons of like tweets from people saying, you know, you spending me thinking tweets from pussies.
Hey, what do you expect? You created this, Jake. You created the interdependence on you and our cult, and so
that's
take
true.
It, bitch.
Brody,
they love
Brody
you.
He emailed me. It was brilliant. He's like, you know, if you do engage with people and become very personally attached to people, and they happen to be crazy, this is only natural. I thought it was a very,
hello.
Very good point.
Hello. Yeah, he's smart.
He is smart. All right. Well, thank you, everybody.
Don't forget your Ricky Lake promo.
Oh, can you play it? I don't even know where it is.
I'll play it when you're done. Yep.
All right. Well, I'll just say goodbye. And then I just don't hang up, right? Okay. Well, thank you, everybody. Remember, personal responsibility, stop being a big sniveling pussy, and everything will work itself out. All right. Go ahead and play the promo. We'll talk to you guys later next week.
And thanks,
you know,
Brody. Yep.
Oh,
thanks,
no problem.
Brody. Oh, he's still there. Hey, Brody. Thank
Coming
you.
Coming soon on an all-new Uncensored Radio, Ricky Lake is here.
Hi, it's Ricky.
And she's here to talk.
You won an Emmy for Outstanding Talk Show. That
Can you believe
has
it?
To be.
Ricky's holding nothing back.
I wanted to do something where I felt like I could, you know, make a difference along the lines of Phil Donahue and the company that I was employed by really didn't have the same vision that I did, you know. Who I am today is not right for that genre anymore.
And teaching us about childbirth choices.
You know, and you, the philosophy that when during your pregnancy you don't even take an aspirin because you don't want to do anything to compromise the fetus.
Right. Sure.
But yet you go into a hospital setting when you're in labor, they hook you up to an IV, they're giving you, you know, Pitocin and all these other drugs.
She's got great advice for new Hollywood hopefuls.
Stay humble. Always stay true to yourself.
Next Tuesday at 9 Eastern, 6 West, only on Uncensored Radio.